So the gospel that we heard this morning, the cure of the man born blind, is full of dialogue about being blind and seeing, light and darkness, knowing and not knowing. Likewise, the other two readings of the Mass today. In the second reading, St. Paul talks about doing the works of light while it is still day. And in the first reading, God tells Samuel, when he is sent to anoint a new king from among the sons of Jesse, that Samuel thinks it's the oldest, tallest, strongest son of Jesse who should be the king when he sees him. But Samuel is judging by appearance. God sees the heart. And God has chosen the youngest of the sons of Jesse. It's a beautiful reading. It's very dramatic. It's the first time we hear the name of David in sacred scripture. When David, the youngest son, comes in, God says to Samuel the prophet, "There, anoint him. This is the one." So, those themes, seeing versus being blind, light and darkness, knowing and not knowing, run throughout the readings of today's Mass. So as I was thinking about those themes, I was taken back to the happy and carefree days of my youth when I was a philosophy student in the seminary. Back in the old days, when people took even an introductory class in philosophy, one of the things they would invariably talk about, one of the things they might be most likely to remember, was a little story called The Allegory of the Cave in Plato's Republic. And I was taken back to that image. In that passage of Plato, he describes the human condition as being like living chained in a cave in which your whole field of vision is a wall of the cave. And what you see on this wall are shadows, because behind you there's a great fire, and back and forth in front of this fire, people are carrying like cardboard cutouts of things. So you see on this wall the shadows thrown by the fire of these images of things that people are carrying back and forth. And Plato says that what passes for knowledge among most people is talking about these shadows. And, you know, somebody who can predict which shadows will follow another, or how fast one shadow will move compared to another, that person is thought to be the wise one, because they figured out these shadows. But Plato says that's no wisdom at all. The life of the philosopher, Plato says, is to be freed from those shackles where all you can see are these shadows on the wall, and to come in to the daylight outside the cave where you can see real things as they really are and understand them rightly and truly. So, of course, we're not disciples of Plato, we're disciples of the Lord Jesus. But those themes from the readings of today reminded me so much of the allegory of the cave. Because the Christian life as disciples of Jesus, the light of the world, can really aptly be described as coming out of the place of darkness and shadows into the light. Having our eyes opened to the world as it really is, to things as they really are, to what is really good, to who the human person really is, what we were created for, what leads to our flourishing and our happiness, versus what leads to our confusion and destruction. That what passes for knowledge among those who do not live in that light is debating about shadows and descending deeper and deeper into confusion. This week we had a theology on tap program given by a young graduate student in archaeology from the University of Wisconsin. He gave a very fine talk. And conversing with him before dinner, he said, you know, he's got a great interest in biblical archaeology. He said that there are not so many people who study biblical archaeology these days. And he said he was rather dismayed when he got into archaeology to discover that it's very much dominated by a Marxist interpretation of archaeology. Who knew, you know? Who knew that that's where archaeology had gone? That it's all about, you know, the oppression of one class by another. But the descent into shadows and disputing about shadows versus opening our eyes to the world that the good Creator really gave to us. In the news this morning, this very morning, there was a story about a judge in Portland. Whenever you hear it's a story about a judge, you know it's trouble is coming. A judge in Portland who has given a plaintiff the right to be the first official person in the United States without a gender. So, and he's decided that no pronoun is rightly applied to him. So, and he doesn't have a last name either. He's given up on that. So he just uses a common noun as his single name, and you just repeat that common noun without ever using a pronoun for him. So, you know, Christianity is not a matter of believing some bizarre myth about something. It's a matter of opening our eyes to the real world that God has given us and accepting what is right and good according to the order given to us by our good God. It is to come out of shadows into the light, to see things as they really are, and to do our best to live in that light. And just one more word about the first reading of the Mass today, that beautiful reading where God tells the prophet Samuel that this is the one, anoint him, about David. God looked into the heart of David. God saw the reality of who David was and chose him to be the king. It's a wonderful reading, joyful reading, and a very encouraging reading because, of course, if we remember the story of David, we know that in looking into his heart, God did not see perfection. David so famously sinned very, very gravely. He was smitten with another man's wife, Bathsheba, wife of Uriah the Hittite. He committed adultery with her, and then engineered the death of her husband so that he would not be found out. He had his commanders put Uriah in the first line of the next battle and then told them, once the battle starts, everybody else fall back. Leave Uriah out there by himself. And of course, he was killed. Adultery and murder were somehow in the heart of David. But God saw his heart not as being perfect, but as being a heart that had the true love of God. And when he sinned, he repented. He did not try to justify his faults, but he called what was right, right, and what was wrong, wrong. And when he needed to reform his life, he did that out of the love of God. So this is the grace we ask of God during this Lenten season, that we be given the grace to live in the light, to see ourselves, the world, what is right and wrong, without any willful confusion, with a clear eye that wants to conform our lives to the will of the good God who created us, and that he give us the grace of humility to embrace repentance when we need to do that. Understanding our human weakness, but understanding that in looking to our heart, what God wants to see is the love and humility that turns to him for forgiveness and a new life.